ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयामुदीरयेत्। श्रीमद् भागवतम कांतो 8 चैप्टर 21 टेक्स्ट 5 ब्रह्मदया लोका नाता स्वा नातया समद्रिता Sanuga Balim Ajar Hiro Sansitapa Tat sorry Sansit Atama Vibhutahe Brahmadaya Lokanata Swanataya Samdrita Sanoga Balim Ajahiro Sansikamatma Vibhutaye Brahmadaya Lokanata Swanataya Samdrita Sanoga Balim Ajaru Samsiptama Vibhutaye Brahmadaya Lokanata Swanataya Samdrita Sanoga Balim Ajaro Samsipta Tama Vibhuti Brahmadaya, great personalities headed by Lord Brahma. Lokanatha, the predominating deities of various planets. Swanataya, unto their supreme master. Samadrita, with great respect. Sa Anuga, with their respective followers. Balim, different paraphernalias of worship. Ajaruha, collected. Samsipta Atma Vibhutaye, unto the Lord, who has expanded his personal opulence and had now reduced his size to the Vamana form. Translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada ki. Lord Brahma and all the presiding deities of the various planetary systems began to worship Lord Vamana Dev, their supreme master, who had reduced himself from his all-pervading form to his original form. They collected all the ingredients and paraphernalia for his worship. Please repeat. Lord Brahma and all the predominating deities of various planetary systems began to worship Lord Vamana Dev, their supreme master, who had reduced himself from his all-pervading form to his original form. They collected all the ingredients and paraphernalia for his worship. Report. Lord Vamana Dev first expanded himself to the universal form and then reduced himself to the original Vamana Roop. Thus, he acted exactly like Lord Krishna, who, at the request of Arjuna, showed his universal form and later resumed his original form as Krishna. The Lord can assume any form he likes, but his original form is that of Krishna, Krishna's Tu Bhagavan Swayam. According to the capacity of the devotee, the Lord assumes various forms so that the devotee can handle him. This is his causeless mercy. When Lord Vamana Dev assumed his original form, Lord Brahma and his associates collected various paraphernalia for worship with which to please him. Ramandaya lokanata swanataya samadrita sanoga balim ajaroha samsik satma vibhutaye. Lord Brahma and all the predominating deities of various planetary systems began to worship Lord Vamana Dev, the supreme master, who had reduced himself from his all-pervading form to his original form. They collected all the ingredients and paraphernalia for his worship. So here we continue in the story of Lord Vamana Dev. These pastimes of the Lord, in which the Lord acts as a adolescent, a youth, a child, is actually very attractive pastimes, especially when the Lord is acting as like Krishna, acting as a baby or as a youth. They are very attractive pastimes. And this pastimes here as Lord Vamana Dev is a very attractive pastime. In this pastime, the Lord actually did not kill anyone. He just treated his devotee, pastime with his devotee, Bali Maharaj. And the Lord accepting this form as Vamana Dev was very enchanting to those who have seen him. He was very enchanting to the demigods. After they offering all these different paraphernalias to him, the deer skin, water pot, and staff, and all the other different paraphernalias. So after the Lord finished dressing, the Lord became very attractive. And the Lord was also in a dwarf form. Generally, there is some sort of attraction to dwarfs. Generally, the attraction mostly is that we are a little amused by dwarfs because they are pretty well smaller in stature. Very rarely you find dwarfs, their body is very proportionate. I remember one time we was in Jagannath Puri and we see one lady. I was there with Pooja Hari. She was pretty well small and think she made 2 feet. I think so. She was pretty well small. But amazingly, although she was that small, her body was very proportionate for such a small feature. Generally, you don't find dwarves, they're looking like that. They're kind of more stocky, and their limbs, their hands is kind of a little bulky. But she didn't have none of these features, although she was that small. And she was, and everybody was kind of glorifying her. I don't know if she's still alive now, because these dwarves, they don't live very long also. But in the form of Vamana Dev, he had this golden complexion. The Lord is sometimes being described as having smolting golden complexion. This gold has a very attractive quality when most of us haven't seen raw gold. We see gold when it's already been altered and it's been made into jewelry. But when you're mining and you get the gold from the earth, there's a whole process in getting it. Generally, it is between the sand, especially if the gold is in powder form, the gold is in between the sand. And the sand, ordinarily, you look at the sand, is either brown or white. But when you have to process the sand through water to get the gold, especially the powder gold, then you find that there is two types of sand generally. It's a white sand or a brown sand, and beneath there is a black sand. This is a very fine sand. So this black sand is more heavy than the white sand, and more heavy than the sand is the gold. When you shake whatever it is, the gold automatically settles to the bottom. So in the mining process, so they do all of this and then they get the gold, separate the gold from the sand. And after separating the sand from the gold, then they generally have quicksilver. Quicksilver is used to amalgamate the gold, to make the gold come together. And then they burn it, and then you get the gold. So if you just simply just wash the gold, burn the gold with the quicksilver, you'll find the gold would look pretty well golden. But then if you take some soap powder and you mix it in that water and you wash that gold properly, and then you burn it, then that gold has a very attractive quality, very, very attractive, very illuminating. So the Lord has this very illuminating golden complexion. It's hard to even imagine how he is if we don't see him. So this feature of the Lord, we can understand from the devotees seeing him directly, how they were all mesmerized by seeing this beautiful feature of the Lord. Short dwarf, well dressed, deer skin, water pot, sacred thread, golden hair, matted locks, umbrella. And the Lord, it says to us, this, when he walks like an elephant, this gay walk, just kind of walk with a sway. So all these are very attractive features of the Lord. So when the Lord approaching Bali Maharaj, it was not only that he's very attractive, but he's also emanating this effulgence. Sometimes the devotees, we can see that in some of the devotees, and that they have this kind of effulgence that is emanating from their body. It is when the spirit soul become more and more situated in himself rather than dependent on the body, when he becomes Krishna conscious, then he is able to extend beyond the boundaries of the body. He extends his influence. So for an ordinary jiva, to some degree this is possible. How much more possible it is for the Lord. So these are all very attractive features of the Lord when he is appearing on the scene. And finally, for his devotee, Bhakta Vatsala, he's playing with his devotee, cat and mouse, he's playing a game, and he finally defeated his devotee. And now amazingly, as a dwarf, asking for 3 steps of land, amazingly, what can 3 steps of land be for a dwarf? But the Lord has this way that he can act in very contradictory ways. So as a dwarf acting for 3 steps of land, he made himself in such a way that he occupied with 2 steps take up the entire universe. So now he is at this point, now he is resuming his original form. Well, okay, I'm not so big anymore, you can relate to me. I'm just this little dwarf, little boy. So now the devatas, Brahma and all the other demigods, they are acquiring paraphernalia. We got to do a puja. We got to do something. We have to worship the Lord. So, Prabhupada is explaining in this purport that this pastime is being revealed by Krishna to Arjuna. Krishna showing Arjuna his universal form and then withdrawing himself from showing this universal form and then show his original form again. Because after showing Arjuna this form, Arjuna was, it was very upsetting to Arjuna. So Arjuna was not comfortable with that. Arjuna wanted, he said, show me your four-handed form. But actually Arjuna wanted more. Because even though Krishna will show the Vishnu form, the form of as Krishna, two-handed form is even more attractive. The entire Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Jiva Goswami have explained that the entire Srimad Bhagavatam is meant to glorify this factor that Krishna is two Bhagavan Swayam. That this Krishna, he is the Supreme Personality of God. All attractive. And no one can excel him. He is the original source of everything. So this is Krishna's position. And it is It's in our position to learn, to understand Krishna's position. If we don't, it's not that Krishna will somehow or the other lose his quality. No, if we don't, then it is to our misfortune. And if we do, then it's to our good fortune. So, it is in our own interest. Krishna is completely satisfying himself. It is in our own interest that we strive each day to act in such a way that Krishna will become pleased with us and he will reveal himself to us. Every day we come before the deities, it is in our interest that we act in such a way that the Lord will make himself more relevant to us. As a person, as that person that we are having a relationship with. Just like two persons, whether husband and wife or friends having a relationship, they always want to get the attention of the other person. This is how relationship goes. We always act in such a way to get the attention. We act in a way to please the other person. In this way we get the attention and the relationship becomes more and more warm. But when there is too much selfishness, which is quite natural in the material world, somehow or the other, we relationship in the material world is more based on our own self-interest. It acts in such a way that the other person may, in his own interest, may be satisfying your interest. And because his interest is met, and your interest is met, then a relationship seems very warm. But if his interest is something contrary, something different to what you can satisfy, then we find the relationship has incompatibility. So generally, our relationship in the material world is based on this selfishness. And when we come to Krishna consciousness, we are being taught how to give up this selfishness, how to act in the interest of Krishna. Our self-interest is being met, of course. It's not that we have to make any special endeavor or special arrangement for our own self-interest. Our self-interest is being met. Why? Because Krishna is the source of all pleasure. So if we automatically try to satisfy Krishna, then our own happiness will be met. So, in our attempt to please Krishna, we also become pleased. So, as devotees, every day we have our different sadhanas or different services to be done. But whatever we're doing, if our sole interest is simply meant to please Krishna, we have no other alternative, we have no other motive. It is just simply meant to please Krishna. By that attempt, then we make very nice advancement in devotional service. What happens as a result? Because we are attempting to please Krishna, we become happy, we are gaining some satisfaction, and automatically we are becoming peaceful. And when we are becoming peaceful, then we are no longer hankering after the so-called material necessities. Because we are now satisfied. So, this Krishna consciousness is a science meant to give satisfaction to the conditioned soul, to bring him out of that selfish condition and to give him that satisfaction. Sometimes we feel, generally all of us, particularly in the beginning, at some point in time when we come in contact with Krishna consciousness, there was this conviction that came over us that we felt, ah, this is it. I get what I want. We haven't really become purified, but at that point in time in our state, in our advancement in Krishna consciousness, generally it is in the beginning time, we felt that satisfaction that we never felt before in all our endeavors. Actually, we become so convinced about that point in time of satisfaction that it is like we, even in our past life, we haven't tasted this kind of a satisfaction. Such as Krishna's mercy when He ready to attract us in Krishna consciousness. So sometimes we ask the question, then why is it that Krishna consciousness don't feel the same way like when I had this kind of a taste in Krishna consciousness? Why it doesn't feel that way? Because sometimes, generally what happens, we become too complacent. We become neglectful. We take things for granted. Now we're becoming more advanced. Now we should be more responsible. Now because we see ourselves in a more advanced or superior way, now we become more neglectful. As a result, then we again becoming covered over. We become covered over because we are lacking this taste. This ruchi, this taste, is not something that someone can taste for you. It's like, I may be blind, and I can take shelter of someone else who is seeing, and there may be some safety for me. But taste is not like that. Taste is you have to taste it yourself. So when we act in such a way that we are losing our taste in Krishna consciousness, then we are becoming developed in an unfortunate condition. Because no one can help us unless we are making that attempt to purify ourselves again. So generally, we come in contact with Krishna consciousness, but we have to make a deliberate effort on our own in Krishna consciousness. There may be so many struggles we have to go through in Krishna consciousness. There is no doubt. But nevertheless, we have to always make a conscious effort. Of course, we don't have the power to defeat the material energy and the influence of the material energy on our own. We don't have that power to do it. Because we are very tiny little jiva. But nevertheless, this powerful material energy, which is also considered to be inferior nature, which is not in a superior position to us, but because this inferior nature is being backed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then we have a problem. We can't conquer over it. We may make all kinds of attempts. Conditioned life is that we have a strong vow to exploit the material energy. This is conditioned life all about. Sometimes you go preaching to people and you, very simple things you try to explain to them, they may be able to accept to some degree, but because they have a strong vow to exploit the material energy, to maintain this status quo, to somehow or the other that they will enjoy in the material world, then it is very difficult for them to somehow or the other, although this Krishna consciousness
is very natural for the eternal soul. It is nothing artificial. You see, last night, he was at the program, and coming back then, one devotee was asking a question. He was saying that, how it is that, you know, you been in a different, you grew up in a different religious life, how it is then that you can accept this Krishna consciousness? What kind of transformation you had to go through? What kind of changes? What motivates you to make that change? Because this is something you grow in. Then I made the point to him, I says, that question is a relevant question if I has to say to leave from a Christian to a Hindu or to a Muslim. That's a relevant question. Because these religious paths, they are all influenced with bodily concepts. To lesser or greater degree, they are influenced with bodily concepts. But Krishna consciousness, on the other hand, has nothing to do with that. The relationship that Krishna consciousness has with the bodily concept is for you to give up the bodily concept. So Krishna consciousness is actually very natural for the soul. It is just the soul has to either be, have to evolve enough from past life. Sukadeva Goswami explained, has to perform pious activities for many lifetimes. So then when he come in contact with those great souls, and he's able to render this mahat seva, render service to these great souls, then at that point he's able to benefit. Then this curtain of this illusionary energy is gradually removed from his eyes. Then he is gradually removed from the eyes, is not the just the gross eyes, but removed from the eye of the soul. Then he can see things as they are. He can see himself as an eternal being, simply residing within a body, not by his own will, but by the will of the Lord. Because he has no knowledge of his own existence, how he enter into this body, and how he will leave this body. He has no basic understanding. He has to be enlightened. So, and this enlightenment cannot come from another person like himself. It has to come from this great souls, those who are devotees of the Lord. They has to enlighten one with this understanding by which one can is able to recognize himself as an eternal soul, and then gradually able to understand as an eternal soul what is my eternal relationship with Krishna. And having understand what is my eternal relationship with Krishna, what is my eternal service to Krishna. So this is all a gradual process. It's taking place. Of course, because we are so much affected with the onslaught of the material energy, feeling so much pressure from the demand of the senses, the demand of the mind, family demands, friends demands, we're feeling so much pressure. We were glad to, in a moment, to become Krishna conscious without having to go through all this struggle. But unfortunately, we have to go through this struggle in Krishna consciousness, and we have to be prepared for them. There's a saying, if you fail to prepare, then you must prepare to fail. So we have to prepare ourselves for this struggle. We have to understand that material energy is there to help us. In one sense, is there to help us. There's a statement in this commercial Bowflex that says, from resistance comes strength. If you keep resisting, this is what building the muscles is all about. You keep resisting. Lifting weight, you resist. So, from that resistance comes strength. So, from our ability to resist against the temptations of the material energy, we become strong in the principle of renunciation. So, it is the practice, we have to practice these things. And the more we practice, then the more we will become strong in Krishna consciousness. So, coming back to this Vamana pastime, there's Lord Chaitanya as a child, after his brother Vishwarup took sannyas, his parents was very disturbed. Because Vishwarup happened to understand that his parents was making arrangements for him to get married, and he had no intention of getting married. So he left home, took sannyas. So the parents was very disturbed. As a result of being disturbed, Lord Chaitanya even told his mother that, "Don't worry, I will always be with you. I would not take sannyas." Trying to coax his mother. So after some time, the father, being so disturbed, he said to Sachi Mata that we should just stop Vishwambar from going to school. Because if he go to school, he become very intelligent, and then he will also leave the home. Dixon, yes, because he became too smart. So we don't need him to go to school. Stop him from going to school. So Sachi Mata, she was saying, well, what will become of him? How will he maintain himself? So Jagannath Mishra was saying, really? He says, well, just look at me. I am a learned brahmana, and I hardly have anything in my house. I'm very poor, although I'm a very learned brahmana. This is, on the other hand, there are some people, they are illiterate. And they have servants, very wealthy people. So it doesn't matter. Don't let him go to school. So Sachi Mata finally, okay, don't let him go to school. So as a result of not going to school, Nimai had full advantage to perform all kinds of mischief in that time he was doing. There was no restraint for how much things he will do. Every day, all day. And he would accumulate friends and perform all kinds of misbehaviors. So finally, one day, there was these pots, already used, cooking pots. So in Vedic culture, these are considered to be contaminated. So Nimai went, sit on them, and was playing. Sachi Mata came and says, how can you do that? Have you not been trained? Don't you know this is a contaminated place? Why would you want to go there and sit? So Nimai says, what can I do? I don't know anything. I'm illiterate. I don't have no education. So I don't know what is right or wrong. I just do anything. So in this way, he had a discussion with his mother, and in trying to prove ultimately this Dattatreya philosophy that everything is ultimately one. So Sati Mata, she said, whatever, but you are dirty. Right now you're unclean. You need to go and take a shower. So the neighbors and friends around, hearing Nimai and his mother, they appealed to Sachi Mata, how can you do that? Why don't you want to send your son to school? So finally she had to conclude, well, yes, okay, we'll have to send him back to school. So at that point then, they had to perform the samskar again for Nimai's education. So it is explained in that pastime that after Nimai was given the sacred thread, a water pot, a cloth bag, and a stick, those who see him at that time could remember Lord Vamanadeva, because being a child, Lord Chaitanya was exhibiting that pastime of Vamanadeva, and he went out begging, and everyone that see him, they couldn't help but just give whatever they had to him in charity. So in this way, the Lord performed this pastime, Vamanadeva. So these pastimes, even the Lord will perform these pastimes again, because they are very enchanting pastimes. We just have to learn how to appreciate the pastimes of the Lord. So, here also, Prabhupada is speaking about, how the demigods perform worship to please the Lord. In Bhagavad Gita, in the 6th chapter, in 47, Krishna explains, Yoginam api sarvesham madgatirantaratmanam. Sradavan bhajate. Prabhupada emphasizing the purport on this word, bhajate. Bhajate, Prabhupada explained, come from the word bhaja. And then Prabhupada explained that the English word worship is not a suitable word to explain this bhajate. Prabhupada says that this bhajate means that when there is a need for service, need. When there is a need, it means if that need is not being fulfilled, then it is a disaster. So similarly, for the living entity, when he doesn't fulfill that need to worship Krishna, then it becomes a disaster. This disaster manifests in his forgetfulness of Krishna. So, as we come to Krishna consciousness, as we are here engaging in Krishna consciousness, we have to understand, we are here to fulfill this need. This is what we are here to do, to fulfill this need to render service unto Krishna. And if we don't, in a conscious effort, try to adhere to our needs, then the process of Krishna consciousness will take a longer time for us. So we have to act in such a way, conscientiously, and Prabhupada nicely identify this Krishna consciousness movement as consciousness, awareness. We have to be aware of our attempts in Krishna consciousness. We have to consciously want to do it. Just like we have to perform our japa, we have to consciously want to do it. How do we want to do it? Prabhupada, in that purport, Prabhupada explained this bhajate as loving service. We still want to do it as a loving service to Krishna. It's like sometimes we have a problem even keeping our eyes open when we're here in a class. But if we have this, if we are intentional about wanting to hear to please Krishna, then we don't have these problems automatically go away. But because most of the time we lack this intentional effort in Krishna consciousness, we do things in Krishna consciousness, we act with our body, and we drag along the mind, so there is no intention. So we're just dragging along performing activities because the mind is not in control. But if we conscientiously in our attempts in Krishna consciousness understand that this is my
Nitya Dharma.
This is my Nitya Dharma. This is my eternal occupation to serve Krishna, to please Krishna. And if I attempt to do this, Srila Prabhupada explained it, Krishna, he sees the bright side. We may not do things very perfectly. Our facilities may not, we may not have sufficient facility to do things perfectly. But Krishna, he sees the bright side. He sees, what is the bright side? He sees that we are conscientiously, we're making every attempt, every endeavor. We're not just dragging along to do whatever is our required service, whether it is hearing, chanting, doing our deity worship, whatever. We're not dragging along. We're conscientiously doing it. We want to do it. We want to please Krishna in this attempt to do these activities. Then, by such efforts, and Krishna, he sees the bright side. And when Krishna sees the bright side, then what becomes the result for us? Then we feel a sense of satisfaction. So Krishna does not have to come out of the altar and says, well, I'm pleased. No, we feel that a sense of satisfaction within our heart. And because of that sense of satisfaction, then we become more committed to the process of Krishna consciousness. We are less distracted by other temporary circumstances in the material world. We become more committed to performing this engagement of Krishna consciousness, which is actually meant for us all. So, it is, Krishna consciousness requires always, in all our endeavor, it requires a conscious effort. We have to make that effort. In this attempt, by making, we may not be able to 100% at the moment be able to be fully Krishna conscious, but by that conscious effort, that is a Krishna conscious effort. That is a pure attempt, because we are making a conscious effort. I simply want to please Krishna. If I hear Srimad Bhagavatam attentively, if I hear this holy name that I'm chanting attentively, if I have this commitment to serve Krishna, then Krishna, he will recognize my attempt. And so we put that faith. In the beginning, that faith has to be there. We have to have that faith that if I attempt to intentionally serve Krishna for His pleasure, then Krishna will be pleased, naturally. Unlike ordinary masters in the material world, unless you meet the climax of what they consider their gratification, then they are not satisfied. It even happened in the pujas or the religious ceremonies towards the demigods. Unless you do things properly, perfectly, and all the other paraphernalia and amendments is right, you will not get the proper results. But Krishna, on the other hand, he looks for something different. He looks for sincere. So sometimes we ask the question, what is this sincerity? What is this sincerity? This sincerity is our intentional attempt to please Krishna. And this 100% attempt we're making to please Krishna, that reward us in return with Krishna consciousness. So I guess we can stop here. Is there any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna. Prabhupada explains what is Krishna consciousness. If someone gets a beautiful flower, that he will give to his friends. But the person who is a devotee of Krishna, if he gets some beautiful flower, he will offer it at the lotus at the lotus feet of Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Yes, we offer it at the lotus feet of Krishna. Many people do service to Krishna. Some with sarva karma, some with moksha karma. But Krishna consciousness is different. Krishna consciousness is actually teaching you to actually render service unto Krishna simply to please Krishna. Nothing else. So even if we have to offer a flower to Krishna, it is simply meant for one purpose, just to please Krishna. No other choice. This is our final desire, to please Krishna. Any other question?
Hare Krishna. So, ji, as you said that bhajati, you explained the meaning of the bhajati, like doing the what is needed in devotional service. And in another sentence, you say also said that doing the loving service to Krishna, bhajati. So, sometimes the what is needed cannot be like loving to us. It happens. So, does it mean it is also bhajati?
Does it mean it is also
bhajati, like the needful things always cannot be loving or interesting or in favor of our interest. We have to do some like forcefully for that. So it is also bhajati, as said in a shloka.
In our neophyte stage, we have to recognize very carefully that we are always subjected to authority. And these authority, they can be your temple commander, senior devotee, spiritual master. So those are the ones in Krishna consciousness. But then we also have another authority if we don't accept those authority. That authority is our mind. We accept some authority. So, what we find, if we reflect upon our past, we find that when we act on the authority of the mind, it always causes misery. Always. The end is always misery. Krishna says, that which is sweet in the beginning is miserable at the end, is bitter. So, on the demands of the mind, everything we do is sweet in the beginning. Naturally, at the end, it's miserable. So, to consider that when we have to carry out an instruction or an order on the basis of following authority, to consider them to be something we don't like, means we are accepting the authority of the mind. Because if we understand our real self-interest, that I am an eternal soul, and I simply being awarded this body and senses simply for the purpose of pleasing the master of the senses, then where is your choice? Whether you're going to be happy or not. You're going to be happy simply by satisfying the reservoir of pleasure. But when you take these things out of the picture, the reservoir of pleasure is the one I have to satisfy because I am an eternal soul. You start thinking yourself as a body, then you start following the demands of the mind, then we have this question in place. I'm doing things that I am not happy. So who is not happy? This is my mind and my senses is not happy. But if these senses and mind is recognized that these are simply paraphernalia that is meant for the satisfaction of Krishna, then where is unhappiness? This unhappiness is on the basis of bodily concept of life. So, in our neophyte stage, these are our struggles. And we have to accept, like the point I made earlier, we have to accept
that we will have to go through struggles. And some of us are more involved in mental plane, so we may have to go through a lot of these struggles. You have to accept these struggles. But how do you accept the struggle? You accept the struggle to progress in Krishna consciousness, not to become subdued by the struggle. That means, well, I have been pushed too far and today I can't make it anymore in Krishna consciousness. Now I have to go back to my old boss, my mind. You will have to accept a boss anyhow. Any other questions? We can stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Chantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.